The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Ready, John Cadell with us for our weekly music spot. I'm going to start with a comment that's just come in from a listener. We get loads of messages to 087-4100-102 during The Last Word of Music, and this one preempts it by saying, I went to see Lauryn Hill and the Fugees last night.
Oh, right, they're not suing each other.
Ooh.
Yeah, very enjoyable gig. She played her own stuff for the first half before introducing Wyclef Jean, then just Fuji bangers until the end. It was my first time driving to the Three Arena from Offaly since the changes on the keys in traffic management. Pain in the hole, to say the least.
Right.
This listener.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think Praz fighting with Lauren over the tour from last year or something that was cancelled. Or
that's
anyway, they're
right,
at each other's throats.
Canceled.
Yes, okay. All right, so lots of things to talk about. We heard in the 5 of 5, Ben told us about the introduction of legislation in the Dáil to ban dynamic pricing. And yet, Dee, it turns out that Oasis in the US have decided not to bother with the dynamic pricing, which caused so much grief on this side of the Atlantic.
Well, isn't it great for them now in the US and Canada, where, I mean, I would say, per capita, let's say, the Oasis fans would be a lot less than there are in the UK and Ireland. Only having those to the UK and Ireland fans have they now decided to ditch dynamic pricing altogether for their North American tour. So, yeah, I don't know. It just, that almost to me seems like even more of a kick in the face for the long time UK and Ireland fans, who I do think would probably be more their core fans and the fans that have been with them from the start.
I wonder, John, will this legislation get through the Dáil before it is dissolved for a general election?
Well, I think if it doesn't get through, I think the feeling on it is so high that they'll have to revisit it. I don't think they get away with not revisiting it, whoever's in government the next time.
Okay. You know what, I'm going to start with picks of the week. What's your pick of the week, John?
Well, I've gone for sort of new music from U2. So
what do you mean of sort of new music?
Well, it's the 20th anniversary of How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. So when they were putting together the content of the upcoming box set, which you know I love, The Edge went back to the archive and found a number of songs that they'd recorded but weren't used for the album. So he said that there's an alternate album, what he calls a shadow album, which they're releasing on its own and also as part of the box set. And the album on its own is called How to Reassemble an Atomic Bomb. So there's 10 tracks previously unheard, and they've already released two of them. And we're going to hear a track called Country Mile.
John, let me get this right. These are 10 tracks that weren't deemed good enough dismantle an atomic bomb.
I thought the same. I said, oh, great, 10 leftovers. But that song is better than at least half the tracks on How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. So I'm actually
pretty excited. Vertigo, though.
Well, no, insofar as it doesn't sound like Vertigo. It mightn't be as immediate as Vertigo, D, but I think it certainly is a song of similar quality.
Do you think so?
I do. Do you not?
I just sort of said a bit of a meh.
Okay. Well, I like it. That's why it's my pick of the week and not yours.
True.
Yeah.
What's your pick of the week, T?
Something a bit different this week for you, Matt. It's a trad song, actually, from an artist called Niamh Bury. So she's releasing an album with Clatter Records, which after, you know, been out of business for a long time, was brought back last year. And they're really releasing some great music with a whole heap of Irish musicians. And this, I think, is one of them. It's a great example of like a trad song with a kind of really strong female character, and it's called Geordie.
She came into the king's hall. There were lords and ladies plenty. Down on her knees she did fall, to beg for the life of her Geordie, saying, six pretty babes had I by him, nor the one lies in my body, and I would part with each one of them if you give to me my Geordie. For he never stole ox, he never stole ass, he never murdered any. He stole 16 of the king's wild deer, all for to feed his family.
So that is T.
Niamh Bury, Geordie.
Okay, listener says that's not trad, that's a folk song. And T, you're away, not in the studio with us tonight. I have to tell you, John started pulling sneery faces when he was listening to a sneery face.
I just think I'd like Niamh to, like, she's singing a bit through her teeth from what I can hear there. I'd like her to, like, let the voice soar a bit, because
I think she's nice a great melody. Voice now.
I didn't say she's no great voice, Dia. I said I just think she probably needs to widen the vocals a bit, open the mouth and sing. It's a bit understated for me.
Well, I think the lyrics are coming from her heart, and that's what's important.
Well, that's what's important, but I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing.
I have my own pick of the week, which I'll get to in a moment.
Oh, no, go get to it now.
No.
Oh, come on.
No, because there's a logical flow to the next thing, because Dermot Kennedy is launching a new global Irish music festival. Because I wonder, will it have trad or folk or things like that in it, John?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a bit random, this, Dermot. Like, I thought he'd be recording the new album, but anyway, he's decided that with all the celebrations around the world on St. Patrick's Day, he doesn't think that Irish music gets enough of a look in. So instead of just complaining about it, Dermot has gone and he's decided to do something about it. So he's playing three gigs next March to highlight new up-and-coming Irish music, as well as a set from himself. And they're happening in Boston, and one of them is happening... He has two in Boston, and
one in Sydney.
Yeah. Thank you, yeah. So the artists that he's bringing along to Sydney are Finch, with a Y, and Cliffords. And then in Boston, it'll be Big Love and More to be announced. So that's what he...
I think it's a really cool idea. Like, he's taken the support acts from Ireland Music Week, which was last week, and by the sounds of it, they're going to be choosing different host cities each year. So this is the inaugural year, so you've got obviously Sydney and Boston, and I just think it's such a lovely idea to actually bring Irish music around the world.
What if he's not in the mood for doing it one year, though? What if he goes, oh, do this again after 9 years?
But, you know, if you build it, they will come. Like, it may be something, like, even, I just love the way he's offering a hand up to younger or kind of less established artists than himself, which I think is absolutely class.
It's called Mishnock. But I
also think, you know, who's to say if Mishnock was a huge success? It didn't, you know... I'm sure he's the kind of person, by the sounds of doing something like this, that he'd be quite happy to pass the baton on, because that's what he's already doing.
But I've decided from now on we're going to call it Dermot Palooza.
Let's hear a bit of Dermot Kennedy. Something to Someone.
See your shape under gold street lights.
And this one listener says, good man, Dermot Kennedy, both cities will love that. So I'm going to give you a pick of the week, John.
Go on.
Okay. New album came out last week. Whenever you or Dee is unavailable, Dave Hanratty joins us, and he's a man with excellent taste in music. And he introduced me to a group called Public Service Broadcast.
Ah, yeah, sure, I've known them
for years. Yeah.
I hadn't been aware of them, and I've gone down the rabbit hole of their music in the last year, and it's terrific. Yeah. It's so,
The Race to Space is my favourite of their albums. It's just fantastic.
It's so imaginative, and it's storytelling, and there's a new album called The Last Flight, which is basically the story of Amelia Earhart, who went missing in the late 1930s when she was trying to do her around the world solo expedition. And it's probably, it's not as good as Race to Space, but I haven't got into it as much yet. It's one of these ones, Dee, that you need to spend a little bit of time with, I think, to fall in love with. But let's just hear a little bit of one track from the album, The Last Flight. This is Electra. John.
Yeah, great. But like, how many things have I recommended to you and you've never listened to them? I've made you CDs. I've given you vinyl records saying, listen to it. You won't be disappointed. Hanratty comes in once every 2 months, recommends an album, and you're all over it like a cheap suit.
But there's something so different about public service. So, like, the way they use archival.
Are you saying I'm basic, D? Is that it?
Well, look, I mean, you have a very particular type of music.
Dave recommended it. I'm going to listen to it. I don't know. Okay. Years I've been doing this. Years. And I think I counted the fingers of one finger, the number of things you said. I'm going to check that out after I played it.
He does that all the time. Yeah. Oh, no, that might be with
Dave.
One.
Yeah, and you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, his loss. Carry on.
Okay. Let's go to something more serious. The details coming out in relation to the allegations made against Sean Diddy Combs are absolutely shocking, Dee. Now, we should obviously say that, you know, these have to be tried yet, but it seems that more and more people are coming out. Women, those who were girls at the time when alleged sexual assault took place. And this is, it seems like, music's Harvey Weinstein moment, Dee.
Yeah, it absolutely does, Matt. It's like some of the details that have come out so far are really, really chilling, to be quite honest with you. There was a press conference in Houston where a lawyer who's based there called Tony Busby, he's filing multiple lawsuits over the next month. And when I say multiple, he's actually representing 120 accusers who say they were victims of rape, sexual assault and sexual exploitation. And it, like, what's important to say there as well is he believes, that's what he said in his statement, that, you know, that's not the end of it. You know, he said more than 3,000 people had come forward with these allegations. They had vetted each and every person. 120 is the number at the moment that they are moving forward with through the legal system. But there may be up to 100 more that they decide to do that with. And it is it's a real range of victims, the youngest of which I think is absolutely chilling, was as young as 9.
But we were here before to a certain extent with R. Kelly, and then nothing. I mean, R. Kelly was sentenced to 30 years plus in jail. You would have thought that the floodgates would open then, and they didn't. And the music industry's reckoning has been coming for a while. You would wonder, is it because Diddy Combs is such a bigger artist that it's getting more notice and column inches, a bigger artist than R. Kelly, that it's possibly going to happen now, that the dominoes will start to fall? Because, I mean, people have heard the rumours and the stories for years and years about certain musicians. And
sorry, in fairness, it also has to be said that, particularly back to the 1970s, there was an enormous amount of what was described euphemistically as bad behaviour, but actually looks as if it was straightforward sexual assault of minors by some of the biggest stars of that era. A lot of still very popular white men, some living, some dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were at the time they were called groupies, but some of these so-called groupies...
Or baby groupies, John, which is even... more horrible, you know?
12, 13, 14 years of age. Just, you know, these lost LA girls looking for somebody to take care of them. And as you say, just absolutely just treated like animals. It's so, I mean, I don't know. I thought that this was going to happen when R. Kelly was tried and sentenced. And you know, if the allegations against Sean Diddy Combs are true, and we've seen the footage of him assaulting his ex-girlfriend, you know, so they say there's no smoke without fire, but if these allegations are true, will it start the dominoes falling? And I would imagine there are a lot of very nervous celebrities across the water. But then again, what about Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein? Where did all of the so-called perpetrators... Nothing has been done.
Well, he's dead. She's in prison.
She's in prison, but...
There's lots of others who were... Yeah, okay.
So you just... You would be hopeful that this will come to some sort of a satisfying resolution, but, you know...
The lawyer did say that there would be other names released in time and that some of them would be very, very shocking and that they would be holding, you know, not just Sean Combs or people that actually committed the crimes to account, but that they would also be holding people to account who had turned a blind eye or who had facilitated it in any way.
Okay, let's move on to other things. Dee, I say this will drive Donald Trump mad. Confirmation that Taylor Swift, who we said would pay a price for endorsing Kamala Harris, is now the richest female musician in the world.
Well, she won't want for cat food. She, her net worth has been estimated by Forbes to be $1.6 billion now, which is just, by any measure, in any line of work, it's just an incredible amount of money for any person to have amassed, you know, between her Eras tour and her Tortured Poets department, which actually became her longest running number one album in the US, which kind of surprised me, to be honest. It stayed at the top spot for over 14 non-consecutive weeks. It just seems she can do no wrong, and she just keeps on bringing in the money.
And Pink Floyd keep bringing in the money, John.
Yeah, and they finally sold their recorded music catalogue as opposed to their songwriting publishing. And the reason for this is...
Yeah, what's the benefit to them, apart from getting the $400 million for it? But what do the buyers essentially get?
Well, they get the rights, the mechanical rights to the music, basically. They can place Pink Floyd songs now in movies and TV shows and advertisements. But Pink Floyd was...
But that recoup $400 million?
Oh, well, it's in perpetuity. So it will over, you know, if you would imagine that some of these artists will still be listened to in 100 years' time. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. And some Pink Floyd songs, I think, will still be listened
to. Will they?
Well, Dark Side...
Sure, if they get together with whoever owns the rights for The Wizard of Oz, they could be in business.
I mean, Dark Side of the Moon is still going to be listened to in 100 years.
And the music often gets used as soundtracks and gaming and things like that as well.
Yeah, it does. So Pink Floyd, the members of Pink Floyd, the songwriters, will still be paid for the use of their work, but they won't have the rights to those recordings of those songs.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.